Hey guys, Sklar Brothers here with Daniel Van Kirk.
It's our show.
And our guest on Dumb People Town is the great Scott Aukerman. Did you have fun in the town, sir?
I loved being in the town, but now I must exit the premises.
You must
drive across county lines.
Well, the thing about leaving Dumb People Town, you usually have to be escorted. It's like Rambo, first 20 minutes.
Yes. By the way, we've had, in this episode, two amazing lawsuits.
Yeah.
Unbelievable lawsuits. Yeah. Unbelievable lawsuits. Yes.
That I filed against you guys.
Right. The witch is going to get you.
The witch is going to get you, and then something else.
Two lawsuits, HPV, and some nuts.
There you go.
You figure it out.
The truck guy should have sued the school.
That's just, yes. I agree. To make it perfect. Find out what we're talking about by listening to this week's episode.
Boom.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. We can finally, once and for all, find out what happened with Judas Priest. Whether they broke up by themselves, or they were pushed out by outside forces, like the government.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
Oh, yeah?
No, yeah, nothing's gone on in our lives.
Nah, it's been a pretty slow couple of weeks.
Yeah, like nothing's happened in the last couple weeks. Like, I'm taking my vitamins right now.
Yeah, do it.
That's what I'm saying, ASMR.
Yeah, I still don't get that. I don't understand why people want to hear people chew and swallow.
Well,
are there other things that you could do for that?
I mean, there's like scratching sounds. I think
scratching.
Yeah, like you can't tell what I did, but I just did it into the microphone.
What am I missing with that? What's the appeal?
I think it's it's an appeal. It's not for everybody, but I think it. It's like you ever have somebody like tickle your back in a very like a light touching, like, you know, maybe the missus wants you to not like a light touch on the back kind of sensation, and it's kind of like that but for your ears. Is that maybe certain things soothe people different ways? I have the opposite. I have the thing where I hate hearing the sound of people chewing, and I'm aware of the hypocrisy of me doing that into a microphone on this very show.
Yeah.
But yeah, I people who chew with their mouth open make me
nuts.
Yeah,
that's a rough one there.
Make me nuts. But yeah, man, so it's been a pretty slow couple weeks, dude.
Yeah, not much going on. Right out of the gate. Buddy, just got the mail. Just retrieved the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
What are you doing, buddy? What are you doing?
What?
With this big gift certificate. Thank you, buddy.
There's a few. For those of you that don't know, Dave ran off and got hitched unexpectedly a couple weeks ago. Nobody saw it coming. Dave went and got hitched. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into this whole thing. We're going to unpack this whole night because I have not spoken to you. We texted.
No.
Because I was unable to make the wedding.
Yeah.
There was moments where I was like, on Friday, like, still doped up. Like, I think maybe we could just get a ticket down there. And then I'd move a certain way, and it feels like my gut was split in half. I was like, maybe not.
So let's start there, man. Tell us what happened. You're feeling better? You're doing well?
Yeah, I'm all right. I got three new stab wounds in the gut. Yeah. Ooh. Well, first off, yeah, I am disappointed. I was texting with Fritz and Kenny and Gilbert and the folks that were there. Mm-hmm. Everybody's having fun. I saw some fun pictures of how prideful gay pride was at Margaritaville Resort.
Oh, boy. Those fellas have a good time.
There was a little clothing, a lot of skin.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of short shorts on the boys for old Ms. Stone. I don't know if she enjoyed that to any degree.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get into that. Yeah, I was so I was ready to go. You know, had shows in Fort Collins on Thursday, Boulder Friday, and then the Stone Strandberg wedding extravaganza that I've been, you know, hearing you plan for months on Saturday. Cool. It's go time. Here we are this week. I was excited for the whole week. Fort Collins always fun. That Boulder show been sold out for months. And then the big old party wedding. And Tuesday, I woke up and kind of had like, didn't feel too great in the guts. And I thought that it was because I, this is where like I go back and forth on as much as like, and I brought it up before, as much as I think people should get the vaccine, I use the same excuse that they use for other parts of my life. Cause I had Chipotle the day before on Monday. And then, so Tuesday I'm feeling sick. I'm like, that's just my body's immune system. Like I don't need, like I legit thought like my body, my choice. And if I get it, if I get the salmonella from Chipotle, then I'll get it. But of all those cases, I'm going to live in fear. Like the same excuse that anti-vaxxers use, I use to continue eating at Chipotle. Mm-hmm. And I thought just my card got pulled, you know? So I woke up before five with stomach cramps. But you know, you got food poisoning or just, you know, I'm going to have upset stomach. It moves around in your body, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It bubbles.
Yeah, it's a journey.
Yeah, it's a witch's cauldron down there. Somebody just threw some Ionute in there and it bubbled up a little bit. But I didn't have that. It was just, it was in one place, which was different for me. And then I went out and did some errands. So on top of feeling not well, I went to the DMV. Because when I go for it, I really go for it, Dave. Like,
yeah.
That's why I don't think I could be into like a dominatrix, because I'd go right to the step on my nuts with the high heels. Like there wouldn't be any gentle prodding if at first. I would go like a whole hog with the self-punishment. So I did the DMV and some other stuff, and then I got back around noon. All of a sudden, I was like laying down, like, oof, I don't feel good. And then it's really started kicking in around noon, where I was like, uh-oh, this is like bad. And so I did what anybody in America who's lucky enough to have health insurance does, is while I was writhing in pain, I went on my insurer's website to figure out which hospital I could go to that was in network. Because that's what you should do in an emergency, is find out where you can go so you don't lose all of your worldly possessions.
Yeah, administrative details.
So I did that. Then it calmed down a bit, and I got to go see my regular doctor. And I went there, and like, man, it sounds like it's appendicitis, but we'll do like a blood test, what have you. And then you'll get an ultrasound the next day, and if it's inflamed, like, they'll know. So like I went back home, was kind of like laying around. Then at 9 o'clock that night, they called, like 9 o'clock at night from a doctor's a weird phone call. They're like, yeah, we got the blood test back. You should go to the emergency room. I was like, okay. It's nothing burst, but they're basically like, yeah, this is more than likely appendicitis. You're better off just being there because they can give you a CAT scan, and if it's inflamed, they got to take it out anyway. So just be there. And like, it's going to happen. It's either going to...
Appendicitis is what exactly?
It's your appendix, which you don't even need, is inflamed.
And it's inflamed.
If it bursts, it's gonna bad. Rupture? Yeah, yeah. That's okay. Basically...
What happens if it bursts?
It's basically like... then they got to clean out your insides. It's bad. It's a bad thing. That's what the doctor explains. She's like, if you... Yeah. Like... Appendicitis is simple, or appendectomy. If it doesn't burst, it's very simple. It's laparoscopic, where they just use three little things. They kept calling it a lappy appy, which I thought was a little bit too cute for surgery.
Yeah.
We got the lappy appy, laparoscopic appendectomy. And it's just one tube is like a camera, and then the other two little things, a little. You know, barbecue tongs that go in there and snip your bits. You snip your appendix out. And that's what I had. So I just, I just sat there Tuesday night, doped up trying to get a good gauge. I was in the emergency room Tuesday night, and they're like, all right, we'll just schedule a surgery for Wednesday in the afternoon. So I just had to stay at the hospital. And so basically that was me asking any nurse that came in, like, what's the recovery time? Because I was still convinced that I could probably make it to the wedding. And I'm like, what's the recovery time? Well, okay, I can't lift weight or anything. Sure. But what's... And eventually, I'm like, I just need somebody to tell me if this is a possibility or not at all. And somebody's like, yeah, not at all. Just if you think about just the idea of flying with just carrying a backpack or doing anything like that. I was like, okay. So, yeah, I had to have one of them say, like, no, just don't. So I spent my time laying in the hospital canceling flights and hotels. And
I was bummed out, man. Was it hard to even sit upright afterwards? Like, that seems like that might even be a challenge for that area.
Yeah, you know what? Definitely. So that was Wednesday. Wednesday night I was all banged up. Thursday I was kind of like, I was moving around. But here's the thing that didn't happen through all of it was you're on painkillers, so that locks you up. So even by Saturday, by where the surgery area wasn't feeling so bad, I had like just 4 days of meals.
Oh no.
It looked like one of those, I felt like one of those old timey pictures you see, like how many people can we fit in a Volkswagen? Like that's how I felt. So that was the after, cause it was Thursday night or something. I was telling Rachel, I was like, I think maybe, I was really feeling bad. I felt really bad that I wasn't going to make it to the wedding. I was bummed, man. I was excited for you this whole time. I was excited for you and Katie. And I was truly bummed because I thought maybe by Saturday, even if I had to cancel the shows, maybe we can get down there on Saturday. And it just because Sunday night finally. So surgery was Wednesday. Sunday night we had gone out to eat with Rachel's brother and her nephew. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, look, I'm in the restaurant, I'm sitting upright, and it's okay. And then I drove, and then I went to close my car door, and just the weird, like, turning sideways, all of a sudden I had to have her nephew. Uh-huh. I'm like, Andrew, why don't you get out there, close that door for you, buddy Kyle, because I turned some way where I'm like, oh, something moved the way it wasn't supposed to inside there.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, shit, I thought I popped stitches. I didn't have stitches. I just glued the little things, but I don't know what's going on inside there. I don't know if I screwed some up. So it was definitely better off I wasn't there, because even if I went, it wouldn't have been like – I wouldn't have been comfortable or in a good mood.
Mm-hmm.
And that – so I was like, oh, that would have been a bummer. But I was bummed I missed it.
Well so,
– And this is what everybody wants to hear about. They want to hear these details, baby.
No, we're bummed you missed it too, buddy, but we're glad that it's under control.
Not since Prince Charles and Princess Diana has there been a wedding so anticipated in the media.
That's true.
And by media, I mean the listenership of this podcast, the dwindling listenership of this podcast.
Oh man! Well, you were missed, buddy, and that was a wonderful speech. We'll let folks know that you had written a very nice speech that you forwarded to our buddy James Fritz, and he read in place of you. So he added some of his own charm and commentary to it. Of course,
I told him to make it his own. I'm like, I only roasted you once in the opening bit there.
No, but that was it was a beautiful speech, very flattering. So we appreciate that. And your presence was missed, but in a way, it was a blessing in disguise because my buddy Craig Holzer stepped up and played the part of best man. And boy, did he earn his money! I don't want to get into all of this.
Wait a minute, there was money involved? I mean,
it was a paying gig. You didn't know that?
I didn't know this. I didn't know it was a paying gig. I would have showed up.
Long story short, I don't want to dwell too much on this because I don't want to dampen this great event in my life with all this negativity, but the venue owner was a fucking nightmare, and let's just say it's a goddamn miracle that I didn't get arrested on my wedding day. thanks to Craig for running interference. Just long story short, just the biggest fucking moron. You can just imagine the biggest idiot you've ever met and multiply it by a couple of times, and then that guy runs a wedding venue. No trash cans. Why would you? No, we don't provide trash cans. No coolers. The music that I worked 3 fucking months on, couldn't even hear it. It was a moot and a mute point. Just the volume was just so low. Arguing over volume, arguing over trash cans, threatened to cancel the wedding twice 3 days before because I hurt his feelings. Just an absolute fucking nightmare of logistics. But I'll end it at that. You know, anybody thinking of getting married in Palm Springs, I would recommend doing it at Margaritaville, which is where we should have done it, because that place was pleasant. But yeah, stay away from Casa de Monte Vista unless you like, you know, no music, no parking, no anything. Just a whole, you pay thousands and thousands of dollars for a laundry list of hard no's. So, and I told the guys, like, hey, man, you're acting like you're doing us a fucking favor. You're acting like, you know, you're a distant relative, and we just showed up. We just crashed your property and demanded to throw a party. Like, we paid thousands of dollars. I won't get into details, but thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
For what? I don't know. I don't really know what we got for it. But, yeah. So I'll end at that. I don't want to be negative. Other than just all the petty logistics and headbutting with that fucking moron, it was a beautiful weekend. So, yeah, it really was. Yeah, just other. I know I sound like I'm contradicting. Like other, there was a laundry list of little details that annoyed me, but I really did. Like it was. I had to like pull some mental fucking Jedi shit on myself just to not be annoyed and angry on my wedding day. I was like, Dave, you got to fucking get over this. You know, you can't let, you know. But it's the I'm a stickler for principle. And oh boy, so that was quite a challenge this weekend. But no, big picture, it was beautiful. Everything went off, you know, as planned as far as the big picture stuff, and couldn't be happier. So I'm a lucky dude. It was great to, obviously it was great to get married, but it was also great just to be around that many friendly faces, you know, hadn't been around that group all together, you know, in years, you know, having friends from Atlanta and having friends out here and just trying to get everybody herded up together. And mom came out and just a real good time. So
did you have like a good caterers?
One. Yeah. We had one caterer who catered both nights. We had a little rehearsal dinner on Friday night and the wedding dinner was obviously Saturday night. So, and I mentioned this before, but we did Italian on Friday night and Southern/barbecue on Saturday night. And, oh boy, shout out to Tailored Events. I will give him an endorsement. Great catering service. If you're in the Southern California area, you need a caterer, check out Catered Events and our buddy Travis Taylor, just absolutely crushed it. It was nice to, have at least one vendor that I didn't want to strangle, so that was nice.
Well, that I mean, I don't want to dwell on it more than you do, but people want to know. People want the dirt, man. Well, I guess I'd never had it like planned an event and never thought about details of like who is responsible for providing trash cans or stuff like that you don't think about. But yeah, I'm clueless, so I don't know what goes over. Like, well, we're having a wedding. Cool. There's this many people, and you have the venue. What's their responsibility?
Yeah, you would assume that you pay, you know, thousands of dollars to host a wedding at someone's property. And again, this is what this guy does. We didn't just fall out of a fucking tree and crash his house and demand that he throw us a party. You're in the business of hosting weddings, correct? All right. Yeah. No one's ever had an issue with not providing trash cans. I'm the first one in 17 years to raise my hand and go, no trash cans, huh? Really? No one's ever complained about you not providing a cooler. Like, it was just the thing, like, he enjoyed saying no. Just hard no. And we got to take some of the blame, too. We got sold. You know, he's a fucking snake oil salesman. He's a used car salesman. He was in the initial pitch, because I will give him this, the property was beautiful. And that's why he gets away with it, because the property's so beautiful. And we were just like, whatever, yes, we agree to whatever, as long as we can have it here. We should have had our list of demands beforehand, you know, like, oh, no parking. That's a problem. Zero live music. No trash cans. No this, no that. You know, just telling us one thing and giving us another. And just this guy claims to be such a stickler for details, but all these huge factors, such as a $1,500 cleaning deposit, not in the original contract. You know, oh, he's got a hard cap at 15 people on Friday night, even though we could have 50 at the wedding. Huh, wasn't in the contract. It's funny. You'd think things that were, if these are so important to you, maybe include them in the fucking contract. But, yeah, just a swindler, just a shyster. And threatened to cancel the wedding twice. Why? Because I set his dog on fire, or because I politely and tactfully called him out on his discrepancies of telling me one thing and doing another? And, oh, boy. But, yeah, so poor Craig, who stepped up and played your part.
Fritz said we might be burying a guy in the desert.
I just kept thinking, like, in a weird way, it was a blessing in disguise, because I wouldn't have wanted you to do all the things that Craig had to do that night. Like, you would have, eventually you would have been like, what the fuck is this, Dave? What are you doing? But, like, Craig just really was just running in interference the whole time and just squashing problems and basically just keeping that guy away from me was his main objective.
Yeah.
But no, it went great. I told myself I didn't want to be all negative about it. But yeah, big picture, it went great.
You look good. Pictures look great, buddy.
Great crew. Thanks, man. One little thing with the suit I didn't realize until after the fact. I didn't know you weren't supposed to button both buttons on the jacket, because then it gave me this weird little crease.
Yeah,
it looked
button.
Like... Yeah, I didn't know that. And you would think that's, come on, 20 different people looked at me before I went out there. I would have liked someone to be like, hey, lose that top button.
Well, that's the problem with fashion nowadays, is everybody's making their own rules. So, you know. Also, I never understood that top button only. Why are you putting two buttons on there, then?
Exactly. That's what I thought. Well, there's two buttons. I guess a button on both. But I didn't notice it at the time. But now looking at the pictures, I got this weird crease, and it looks like the jacket's a little too small, even though I promise you it fit perfectly, and I worked really hard to fit into it. And then I got this fucking second button, and I'm like, oh, I look like I'm stretching out the jacket because I'm too fat for it. But other than that, the suit went great, or it fit great. But, yeah, suit. I was real pleased with the way that turned out, other than the button. What else? The food was great. Hotel. Oh, man, we all had a blast. Everybody was staying over at Margaritaville. Didn't realize we booked the wedding on the same weekend as Gay Pride in Palm Springs. But, you know, it didn't hamper or slow us down at all. If anything, it was entertaining seeing all those festivities. Driving Mom around the next day. We just drove right in the middle of this huge parade. And you know how those guys go hard at Pride, you know, costumes and, I mean, you know,
could say go fake hard appendages. In a lot of different ways.
Tried to, like, get her to... Hey, don't look at the guy with the dildo outfit. Let's just keep our eyes straight.
Morally horrified, or was there any little tingle of like, this is kind of a level of fun that I didn't expect?
Yeah, I think she's slowly made her way to the 21st century. I mean, she's never been, you know, a bigot or a homophobe, but she's got those, you know, Southern Christian values you know. But I could tell she was just like, well, this is quite an experience. She wasn't too judgy.
Well, she did just watch her son marry a woman, so she's assured there.
That's
she's
true.
Like, I guess, you know, it's not my own
family.
Yeah,
and that was a great part of the weekend. You know, Mom coming out. She's never been to California, never been to the West Coast whatsoever. Took her down to the ocean. You know, Thursday I picked her up from LAX and brought her over here to the apartment. Got to hang at the apartment, took it down to the beach, and then, you know, out there at the wedding. Oh, yeah, I thought this was pretty cool. Like I said, she's been pretty hardcore conservative Christian since I was born. I think right around the time I was born, her and my father kind of, you know, changed their ways and went the Christian route, you know, which is neither here nor there. But she had not drank alcohol since I've been alive. She had half a margarita. She's like, I want a drink. I got her a Diet Coke. She goes, I was thinking I might want a drink. I was like, oh, for real? And I was trying to, like, pitch her on, well, we could get you a vodka crayon or we could get you this. And she's like, I think I want to try a margarita.
Good call.
And, she had half a margarita and said that was plenty. But that's encouraging, too. Not that I'm trying to corrupt my mom, but it's just refreshing to see someone like, yeah, I'm going to let go of these little rules for a day that I've had for 45 years.
Maybe after enough time on this earth, you're like, you know what? I can bend a little bit.
Well, that's what I told her beforehand. It's like, Mom, you're literally not going to know anyone there. And what I mean is no one there is going to judge you. None of your church friends are there. You know, everybody's going to be celebrating and have a good time. If you want a drink, go ahead and have a drink. And this was like the week before. And she's like, we'll see, we'll see. And then sure enough, she ordered a nice margarita and had a few sips. And that was enough for her. But yeah, and just driving her around Palm Springs, just letting her see the desert and the mountains. And, you know, that was refreshing. Because that's something I put a lot of stock into, just life experience. You know, that's one great thing about doing what we do, just being able to travel. And even though I haven't traveled, you know, internationally the way you have, I've seen almost every square inch of this country. So it just and I feel like I take that for granted, because even looking back at my dad, he, you know, lived 75 years, never went west of Missouri. He never went west of Missouri, never saw California, never saw the Pacific Ocean. So I'm glad that later in her life.
Imagine getting to Missouri and being like, that's enough for me.
Yeah.
Well, Missouri?
Yeah,
crazy. A little too spicy the further west I head. Missouri's hot to the touch.
Yeah. Yeah, he made it to St. Louis one time, and that's as far west
as
he got.
Didn't even get over the Mississippi.
No.
Well, no, I guess, I'm sorry, if you were in St. Louis, you did cross the Mississippi.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Well, good.
But yeah,
good,
so that
Ms.
was fun.
Stone there.
Yeah. She hit it off with the in-laws. Hit it off with my father-in-law and nice. His sister, who we call Aunt Joni. So, you know, they all three of them were just thick as thieves, like longtime pals. Like, and that's just how my mom is anyway. And my father-in-law's that way too. Just never met a stranger, you know.
Somebody was saying they could tell where you got like storytelling and everything from hanging out with your mom. And she was fun. She was having fun and being fun. I don't know if it was Fritz or Kenny or who it was.
Yeah, she loved hanging out with all my friends. And that's, you know, not to get too personal, but, you know, we've had our rounds, Mom and I, in the past, just about this and that. And, you know, my lifestyle and the weed and blah, blah, blah. But it was refreshing for her to, like, meet all my friends and be like, see, they're not a bunch of heroin addicts. We're just comedians that drink and smoke a little bit. Doesn't mean we're all heathens.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
She really hit it off. She hit it off with Alan. She kicked it with Alan Strickland Williams quite a bit. Mm-hmm. She finally got to meet Andy Sanford. You would have thought she was meeting Mick Jagger. She's been such a fan of Andy Sanford for years. Like that, Andy was like my first comedy buddy that both my parents, my dad too, were like, boy. Like I felt like they even liked him more than me because they always talked about Andy. And she had never met Andy, so it was funny watching her meet Andy. Like she was literally starstruck. And Andy's just like, I'm just an idiot. Hello.
Just the comparison of Andy Sanford to Mick Jagger has me.
Yeah. But no, she was like, she said, do you think I'll get to meet Andy this weekend? I'm like, we could probably arrange that. But yeah, so it was fun, you know, letting her hang out and meet some of my pals. And
she traveled all right? Her flights were okay?
Yeah, flights were good. I got this thing. I didn't even know you could do this, but I guess with disabled folks or elderly folks, you can get
put them right in baggage.
What do they call it? Yeah, what do they call it? I think it's just called a gate pass. So I went to the gate and got a gate pass and you know, went through security like normal just to get her to the gate, and then did the opposite. You know, when I picked her up, I went through the security and met her at the gate. That, I mean, I know they have valets and stuff that could have rolled her through the airport, but I was just like, just let me
know. That's a nice thing to do. Yeah.
So, but yeah, travel, you know, she, to hear her tell it, you know, there was no issues. I had one small issue when I dropped her off at the airport. I had to park in the garage, the parking garage, and got her in and then came out. And then something was wrong with the little toll booths that you go through. There was like six of them. Five of them were down. And so we had a log jam. I waited 37 minutes after I crunk my car. By the time I crunk my car to the time I exited was 37 minutes, and then I finally get up to the thing.
Wait a minute.
And
did
I asked
you say
the guys,
crunk your car?
Yeah, I crunk my car. Yeah, that's how
I've
we do it.
Never heard that phrase in my life.
Yeah, I crunk my car.
I crunk my car.
But I waited 37 minutes
since
to
you
get up to
your
the
car.
Exit.
Sorry, yeah. Crunk. Not
I was like,
crunked.
I'm not kidding. You know, you could make me crunk my car and then wait 37 minutes. And then I was like, I just assumed that the guy would give me a discount or a refund. Or, no, he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I understand your frustration, but we have to charge you the full. I was like, ah, even better. Even better. Just sat there for 37 minutes.
Where is it? LAX? Just,
yeah. Like, no supervisor can come down and override anything and let us just scoot on out or at least charge us what we should have initially been charged. Nope.
Man.
We're going to keep you hostage for 37 minutes and make you pay for it. So anyway, that was the only travel issue we had.
I was talking to David Borey last night. David Borey played Portland. And I was just talking about like living in LA, how like I miss it and I do like it there. But like my idea of success, it's like not a house in the hills or anything. It was when you finally realized you made enough money to spend the extra to fly out of Burbank.
Yep.
Instead of LAX. Like that was the biggest, you know what? This, if you want to talk about money lending itself to the ease and comfort of your own life, that was the biggest one. Like, oh, I'm just going to fly out of Burbank forever now.
Yeah.
That's where I'll spend that extra money. Not on a first class ticket, none of that shit, but flying out of Burbank. Fuck LAX.
Anything to avoid LAX. Ugh.
It's a hellhole.
What a nightmare.
Yeah.
But yeah, wedding went great. I was a little, I forgot how many errands I'd have to run, like once we even got into town. And like Saturday, the day of the wedding, I had to be there at 3. The wedding starts at 4. They wanted me there at 3. We're going to do little family pictures and stuff beforehand. And like, just all these little last-minute errands just kept popping up. So I was going to get, you know, being there at 3, I was like, I'm going to start getting ready around 1. You know, I'll take a shower. I'll take my time. I'll make sure everything's perfect, whatever. One thing led to another. Like I said, I was needed to be there at 3. 2:30 rolled around. I was still out buying champagne and fucking drink stirrers and maraschino cherries and shit for the bar. And I had to just rush and hurry and throw my suit on.
Did you have a bartender? Sweating.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a bartender that we hired from the caterer. So, yeah, we bought all the booze and just handed it over to him, and he did all the serving. But, yeah, there's something at some point I was about to make. Hell, I don't know. But
you were running late for your own wedding. You've had a lot of errands.
Yeah, just running late for my own wedding. Practicing all week, trying to figure out how to tie this tie. I was trying to tie a Windsor knot. Fortunately, nailed it first try.
You crunk that Windsor knot? So,
yeah, I crunked it up, man. Had a nice Windsor, big fat triangle Windsor going, so that was cool. What else? I'm trying to think. There was some details about shit. I don't know. But yeah, just it was real nice, man.
And, how did you wind down? Did you hang out at Margaritaville for a few days? What'd you guys do?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, no, I mean we hung out, you know, after each night we kicked it back over at the hotel pool. But no, we left Monday, so we stayed an extra day on Sunday and then rolled out Monday and took Mom back. But yeah, man, it was a lot of fun, dude. It wrote my vows. Felt like I did a good job with the vows, crushed those, stole a line from the old man.
I saw that.
Used that as my closer, so that was good. And just, man, just I don't know if it's just me getting older, me getting softer, whatever, but I was a little emotional this weekend, and I was just like, man, just try not to cry.
You got
while
married.
You're up there doing
you can,
your vows.
You can do that, Dave. You can do that.
Man.
You can man, cry on your wedding day.
I didn't know how the procedures were going to go. Like, I got my own hotel Friday night because Katie was like, let's just be traditional and let's not spend the night Friday night. And then I was like, I didn't know when I was supposed to see her that day. Or I thought I wasn't going to see her until she's literally walking down the aisle. But about 10 minutes before that, like, the organizer, the planner, whomever got us all together. And anyway, like when I first saw her, like she just looked so beautiful. She had all her hair and makeup and everything. And like,
yeah, she looked great.
My knees buckled. Yeah, my knees buckled.
I yeah, buddy.
Like, good Lord. Good Lord. I'm about to marry this babe. Way to go, dude.
Yeah, buddy. This one's mine. Yeah, emotions are okay, yeah. Dave. You don't have to be scared of them. It's actually good. It's actually good for you to be in touch with those things.
No, I know. But I was just like, I didn't want to just be up there sobbing during my vows. I was
Why
just
not?
Like, come on, man, pull it together. But
when else are you going to cry? For Braves won the World Series. You're getting married. You can cry a little, dude. You can cry a little bit.
Dude, what a week. What a week that was. Braves won the World Series on Tuesday. I got married on Saturday. It's a good week.
Yeah.
It's a good week, man. All right, let's talk about Talkspace. You know, we've shifted how we work and how we learn, but sometimes it feels like the world is changing faster than we can keep up with. We're all coming out of this whole year and a half debacle with COVID. You know, a lot of us were working at home. Some of us, unfortunately, lost our jobs. There's a lot to worry about in terms of your career and your job and your employment, and sometimes maybe you need to talk to somebody about it. Maybe somebody other than friends or family. Friends and family are great, but sometimes they don't have all the answers. That's why you need to talk with Talkspace. The people around us make a huge impact on our lives, and life's pressures can cause those relationships to change, sometimes for better, sometimes for worse. And as the year ends, another holiday season is upon us. For many of us, that means travel and family and all that's great, but it also means stress. Sometimes you need to talk to somebody who has the right answers. That's why you need to talk with Talkspace. Talkspace is ready to help you start feeling better with a single message. You can set goals with your Talkspace therapist and develop techniques to cope in difficult times. Talkspace offers individual therapy, couples therapy, medication, prescription services, whatever you need. Talkspace is the number one online therapy platform. There are thousands of licensed therapists available for you to match with across dozens of specialties, including anxiety, depression, relationships, even more. Talkspace works around your schedule at your convenience with live video sessions and unlimited messages with your dedicated therapist. Here's what you do. If you need a little support to help you through this weird time of the year, you know, end of the year, the holidays, whatever, we're coming out of COVID, you need to talk to somebody, Talkspace is there for you. If you want to start building towards a better upcoming year, Talkspace is here to help. Match with a licensed therapist when you go to Talkspace.com and get $100 off your first month with the promo code Boogie. That's $100 off when you use code Boogie at Talkspace.com. Fresh from San Diego, California, comes the only sunglasses brand I'm ever going to wear again. I'm, of course, talking about Blenders Eyewear. You're going to be just as hooked as I am when you see how awesome these shades are. I got the Swagger Cat model. I feel like that's the one that best captures my personality. Chase Fisher started Blenders by selling his beachy shades out of a backpack while doubling as a surf instructor on Pacific Beach. His goal? To create an adventurous mid-priced eyewear option with the same cool factor as other leading styles. Unlike expensive big brand shades that you've probably lost or smashed in the past, Blenders are actually affordable, so you're not going to cry as much when the inevitable happens. Blenders' team of in-house designers are constantly coming out with new styles, from orange polarized wraparounds, tortoise shell frames with purple lenses, to classic gold arms on black lenses. And it's not just sunglasses. Blenders has prescription glasses as well. Also readers, also blue lights, whatever you need. Even got a snow collection with goggles and accessories. That's exciting. Live life in forward motion with Blenders today. Here's what you do to score 15% off your Blenders purchase. Visit BlendersEyewear.com, enter promo code BOOGIEVIP. That's BlendersEyewear.com, code BOOGIEVIP for 15% off. Blenders, rocked with pride worldwide. All right, I don't know if anybody saw any of my wedding pictures, but if you did, you might be saying, Dave, how do you look so fresh? I look like I smelled good. Does that make sense? The pictures, I know you can't smell a picture, but I look like I smelled good. I looked fresh. I looked like I was smelling fresh. And you know how I pulled that off? I pulled that off with a little help from our friends at Hawthorne. Hawthorne's grooming products are my answer when I want to look good, feel good, and smell good. Hawthorne is a premium men's grooming brand that makes it quick and easy to be confidently your best with skincare and hair care made just for you. They use data from hundreds of thousands of customers to recommend perfect products for your own body chemistry, your own skin type, hair type, lifestyle, what have you. I could lean on that drugstore stuff, but I am really trusting my vibe and my freshness to Hawthorne. I could get overcharged at the department store, the drugstore. What I really needed was a company I could trust to set me up with some grooming routines filled with tailored products that was still affordable, and that is what Hawthorne does. Lean on Hawthorne to upgrade your body wash, your shampoo, your deodorant. Let them recommend a face cleanser and a moisturizer that elevates your game. And, of course, find your perfect cologne. First, you take Hawthorne's quiz. They ask you a bunch of simple questions about your preferences, your lifestyle, your body type, your skin type, your hair type, all that stuff. At the end of the quiz, you'll view customized products tailored to your specific body, skin, hair type, all that stuff. And, oh, yeah, they're going to hook you up. It's great stuff. I've been using it for a few months now. Very pleased. Hawthorne stands by their customers, so if you're not completely satisfied, they'll retailer your products for free based on your feedback and pay for the shipping. So there's truly zero risk. So make sure you're ready for anything and anyone that comes your way by taking Hawthorne's quiz today. Go to hawthorne.co, not com, but .co. Use promo code BOOGIE to get 10% off your first purchase. That's Hawthorne, HAWTHORNE.co. Hawthorne.co, promo code BOOGIE. Get 10% off your first purchase. Yeah, just went real well. Open bar was a hit.
That's right. That's right. I was afraid of texting you Tuesday night because I was like, oh, man, Braves just won, and I don't want to ruin this, but I think I got it. That's what I told you, I think, was Tuesday night.
Yeah, you were like, you still up celebrating? I'm like, hell yeah. And then you're like, all right, well, I got some info.
Yeah.
But that's all right, buddy. Seriously, I'm just glad that your thing could have been a lot worse, couldn't it? Like if you hadn't caught it in time or if they'd
burst. Yeah, it was all routine. It was just my dumb shit, my inconvenient. Because I think that was the day, too. I'm like, I had my physical therapy for my knees. I went to the gym and saw a personal trainer about getting everything else strengthened up. I'm like, I'm really going to take charge. I'm not going to let this winter get me down. And my appendix was like, what's up, Playboy? I'm like, oh, man.
Oh, man.
So
now, is that something that just randomly happens, or is that due to, you know, gout-related issues or diet? Or
no, anybody. Usually you get it when you're younger.
Really?
It's like a part of your colon and something's maybe food can get stuck in there and get it. I think it could just happen to anybody. I don't think there's any pre-existing conditions, anything. It just happens to some people sometimes. And that's what happened. A very inconvenient time, but could have been worse, but yeah, I was bummed I wasn't there. I'm sorry I couldn't run defense. Many thanks to Craig for running defense on the twerp running the venue.
Oh, man. Craig and Gilbert, too. Gilbert, man, they both were really running it for me. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it was fun. And the music, like I said, just couldn't – just – fucking pointless. Just you literally.
Well,
you
what did he have like anything. A PA system in the place or what was it?
Oh, well, here's the other thing. Okay, yeah, this just tells you again. Been hosting weddings for 17 years and they haven't fucking figured this shit out. Two places on the property you might need music the most would be the ceremony area. You know, while we're all seated waiting for the wedding to start, have a nice playlist to play. The ceremony and the dance floor. This asshole had neither. Had to bring my own Bluetooth speaker. He has these five little rinky-dink speakers throughout the property, but you can't fucking hear them because he had a decibel meter out there in the Palm City, Palm Springs ordinance, blah, blah, blah. 15 decibels is as high as he could go. I was like, well, then you might as well just fucking turn it up. But anyway, so no speakers in the dance floor area or the pre-ceremony area or the ceremony area, so I had to bring my own. And then this asshole complains because I wanted to hook up his speakers. I wanted to sync them together. And he's like, well, I can't have a bunch of people running through my house. First of all, asshole, it's not one person. It's my best man, Craig, who wants to go in and hook up the speaker to your to hook up the phone to your speakers. Yeah. Second of all, who the fuck told you to put your setup in your house? I guess he lives, got a little bungalow there on the property that he lives in. Who told you to do that? But it was just that mentality all weekend. I don't want a bunch of people running through my house. It's not a bunch of people. It's my best man, and he's not doing it. He's not using your shit or eating your cereal. We're trying to hook up to your speakers, and who told you to put them there? Like, it was just that kind of fucking, there was not one ounce of, let's see what we can do. Katie always talks about provide solutions, not more problems. It was just zero solutions, just nothing but problems. But not even the attitude of like, let me try to help. It was just hard no. Ugh.
Yeah, I don't understand why this guy's having weddings.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I mean, the pictures look good, but it seems like, okay, a DJ would bring speakers.
Yeah.
normally. But then how would they have a DJ there ever?
Yeah, no DJ, no live band, no parking, no trash cans, no coolers. Got in a big argument. He told me Friday night we had a hard out at 9, and then at 8 he's trying to shoo people off. I'm like, what you doing? He goes, the contract that the Stacy, this wedding planner who also didn't do a fucking thing, Stacy's contract says 8. Well, that's funny because I didn't sign no fucking contract that said 8. It's like you don't remember me looking at me in the eye and telling me 9. Mm-hmm. It was just zero effort. And I even told him this. I said, hey, man, I don't adhere to the notion that the customer's always right. But let me ask you this, fuckface. Is the customer ever right? Is the customer ever right? Like, just like got off on telling us no. And I also reminded him, I said, hey, we still have an outstanding balance. So you ain't been paid in full yet. So you might want to fucking work with me because father-in-law is a real cantankerous bastard when he wants to be. And all I got to do is whisper in his ear how much you suck. And you might have a hard time getting the rest of this balance. You fucking idiot.
To get a little litigious.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm sorry for that.
You shouldn't
have
to deal with that kind of shit on your, you know, it's like also we've been going over this shit for 6 months, asshole. But this is all, you know, it's all news to me. I'm sorry I didn't read the contract.
What did the wedding planner do?
Try to buy a bunch of shit we didn't want. I caught her two different times buying more chairs and tables than we had requested. So I had to go around her back look over her shoulder the whole time.
Why didn't you ream her out for trash cans? She saw how many chairs and tables. That means she knows how many people are going to be there making trash.
Yeah. Well, the caterer is supposed to bring the trash cans. Meanwhile, my caterer, who's been doing this for 10 years, is like, that's not true. I never bring my own trash cans. Just unbelievable. Anyway, I don't want to be negative about it because it was a good time.
I'm just giving you a place to vent. You got to get it out.
And then this fucking, then the photographer, like as soon as the wedding was, like as soon as we said I do, he's barking orders and got me over here. And I get it. Yeah, golden hour. You got to get your photos. Then a couple hours later, we're finally sitting down to eat. All right, I'm the last one to sit down just because I'm trying to make sure everything's good. So I'm halfway through my wedding meal, and I swear to God, I'm not exaggerating. He goes, Dave, you need to hurry up and do the toast. And I just stopped. I said, I need to hurry up and do what? And then he like backpedaled. He goes, oh, I mean, like, well, you know. I was like, I don't care if you fucking shoot the toast or not. If you need to leave, you can leave. But like, we'll do the toast when I'm ready to do the toast. Like, barking orders at me. While I'm having my wedding dinner, need to hurry up and do the toast. Or you could go fuck yourself. That's an option. Like, you know, and I wasn't trying to be a diva, but it's like of all days, can y'all just stop barking orders at me on my fucking wedding day?
As much as it's your wedding day, it's not your day. Remember, you're making a party for everybody else.
Got a stranger telling me what I need to do.
Oh yeah, you're
while
at
I'm
work.
Eating my wedding dinner. Why don't you back up, dude?
Why do you think we'll do it when we do it? Brides are just exhausted by the end of the whole effort.
Yeah. I mean, it really it was great and it was fun, but oh man, I'm just so glad it's over because it was just so many annoying little details and like I said, like I don't expect it to just be, you know, milk and honey the whole time, but just the fact that everybody involved outside of the caterer was awesome, but the planner, the photographer, the fucking owner, there was just so much fucking pushback. And it really did feel like I just showed up at your house and asked you and Rachel if I could borrow your house to throw a wedding today. And y'all are like, okay, but we want to help you, but there's some stipulation. Like, it's like, no, this is what you do. We've been planning this for months, and we paid you thousands of dollars. Can you work with us a little on some real simple shit? I wasn't trying to bring in a live Bengal tiger. I just like a fucking trash can.
That would have been dope, though, if you crunked up a Bengal tiger.
Yeah, we didn't hire Slipknot to perform. I would just like to be able to hear the playlist that I worked on.
I feel like a Slipknot adjacent band and a live Bengal tiger, very accessible in Palm Springs.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, you're right by Riverside, and that's filled with psycho trash. You could have gotten a tiger and a Slipknot cover band, who, if I might point out, would have brought trash cans.
Oh, man.
That you could have used for the catering.
Meanwhile, over at Margaritaville on Saturday, the day of the wedding, they had closed down the whole pool area for a private event for Pride. But like, if dude, there, I'm not kidding, there had to be 2,000 gay dudes in there. It looked like Coachella. Like, they were just, and so I was like, we should have
1,999 gay dudes and one guy going, I just, my girlfriend said to meet her here, and I'm very confused.
But like, it, like, they were just blasting the music and just having, I was like, man, we could have fucking just done that here. Could have just rented out the pool area for a couple hours and just fucking blown it up. And you know what I think we're really going to do? Like, Katie and I were talking about this. I know it sounds a little like up our own ass, but like maybe 5-year anniversary, we invite everybody else, or invite everybody back out, and we do like a party at Margaritaville. We rent out that whole pool. And just
I mean, I made that joke before. Like, I don't care about your wedding. Invite me to your 10-year anniversary so I know it was actually working out. I've been to enough. Yeah. I've been to enough weddings, and now I'm like, take two of these people. Like, you want a gift this time too? Just get it back from your ex-wife, whatever I got you the first time. not to disparage the sanctity of the institution.
Yeah.
But I'm like, yeah, now you have a party on your anniversary. See, we made it. It's real. Now we could use some shit.
Yeah. Or like people who get married like a third time. Like, dude, I'm not coming to your third wedding.
Just send me a postcard.
But no, I didn't want to, I don't want to, you know, sound negative, but just, it would have been nice to just have like a wedding planner or somebody to run interference from day one and just handle all the shit. But just, you know, the fucking night before my wedding, I'm yelling at this fucking old New York midget idiot. Sorry, I know you're not supposed to say midget, but just this little, the dude weighed like 90 pounds.
I can kind of read between like the lines at what words you want to say right now.
Oh, man. It's just fucking Katie wanted to have we had these little bungalows, and I wasn't going to stay Friday night because I was going to stay at the hotel. So Katie wanted her two friends to come over and have a little slumber party. No, we've never had three people in a bungalow. And then he's sizing them up, looking them up and down because they're Latino. He said, are y'all going to behave? Like, you didn't interview any of our white guests that are staying in the bungalows. But like, literally, he's out there like, doing an on-site interview just so the night before her wedding, Katie can have a little slumber party with two friends. She's not inviting 10 people over to the casita. It holds two. I'm not there. Let's get, you know, oh my God, we've never had three in a bungalow. Well, holy shit. Alert the press. What do we do?
I wonder if you'll get like, asked to do a survey for Casa de Monte Vista.
Oh, well, yeah, I've never been this dude, but yeah, I'm going to fill out all the surveys, all the Yelps, all the TripAdvisor, whatever. Like, but because, and not just to be spiteful, but like, people need to know. Like,
not spiteful, you got.
Like, yeah, your special day, guess what? No trash cans, no parking, no live music, no loud music, no pets, no glass by the pool, no nothing. So here you go. Take my money, asshole. But yeah, I'm okay. I'm all right. It does feel good to be married, though. I got to use this phrase for the first time the other day. Father-in-law called the other night and invited us over to dinner, and I said, well, hold on. Let me check with my wife. I've never been able to say that. So I'm checking in with my wife now. Yeah, it's just... Katie and I were talking about this. Like, we wouldn't think that it feels different. You know, we've been together for years. We've been living together for years. And, okay, now we made it official, what have you. It does feel different. It just feels more... I don't know. Like, it just feels like there's more at stake. Well, you know, the old joke about now the government's involved. We've signed paperwork. It feels so official. But we're enjoying it, man.
Yeah, you got documents. You got documents signed now. Mm-hmm. You're legal. You weren't legal.
But yeah, man, it was good. You were sorely missed. A lot of people were asking about you. And I know the caterer. I think the caterer, he was a big fan. He was very disappointed that Kyle wasn't there.
I was so bummed, man.
Yeah, you. Your presence was missed, but digital DJ Kyle, I still went forth with, even though, by the way, no, you know how many people we had dance? Zero. Because it just, it felt like, what's the point of even trying to dance?
Oh,
like,
because you can't hear the music.
You couldn't hardly hear the music. And it was like this weird little bar area where they had to close off with these curtains, these noise suppressed curtain. Like, yeah, we're fine.
Yeah, I wonder
so nobody even tried to dance.
I wonder what other weddings, like, Yeah, I don't know, man. Dancing's a lot like the comedy club rules. Like, the darker it is, you know, the more people are likely. But atmosphere with the lights and everything. But, well, I'm still bummed I missed it. Shout out to Craig for handling things.
Yeah, Craig crushed it. But, yeah, it was great seeing, you know, Singer was there, Fritz was there, Kenny DeForest, our buddy Gilbert, Andy, Alan Strickland Williams. Yeah, we had a good crew there, man. Good crew. And we each night we went back to the hotel, and man, Friday night, me and Alan and Kenny, we stayed at the bar. The bar closed at 1, but this real nice bartender gal was like, "Look, I'm leaving, but y'all hang out as much as you want." So because it was kind of in the lobby, and we stayed there till 4, just goofing off. I was drunk. I was hungover on my wedding day.
Well,
I lost track. That's the thing too. I hadn't drank in like months. I literally hadn't had a drink in like 2 or 3 months prior to that. So my tolerance was down. But yeah, I got pretty hammered on the way back. It's like 4 a.m. I'm walking back to the to my room, and for some reason I had a 12-pack of Modelo. I have no idea where that came from. I don't remember acquiring it myself, but I just had this 12-pack, and I was so drunk that like even the thought of drinking one of those was like, ugh. And I'm walking back, and these two gay dudes, well, I don't know that they were gay, but they were making out, just really going at it, just going at it in
game
the hallway.
Of chicken.
And we're really, really exploring each other, and I was just, sorry to interrupt, fellas. I don't want to interrupt, but does anybody want some beer? And, like, the one guy stopped kissing. You could tell he was annoyed at whoever was interrupting him. Well, but then when I handed him the 12-pack of beer, but his tone changed real quick. He was about to, like, tell me to fuck off, and then he was like, oh, sure, yeah, okay, we'll take that. And I just handed him a 12-pack of beer, and it's like, as you were, fellas. Just staggered down the hallway.
Gee, fellas, but, celebrating each other's love. That's beautiful. How about a 12-er there, guys?
I did make some friends over at Margaritaville. I got invited to a couple of little hangs, but I had to explain to them. Literally, I was going out the door in my suit, and this group of fellas was like, "Hey, where you all dressed up for?" I was like, "I'm going to get married. I'd love to hang."
To a woman. I go get married. To a woman. Yeah, to a woman. Let me be clear. To a woman the way God intended. Be. But you fellas have your sinful fun.
But no, man, I don't know how many fellas were there that weekend, but it was packed. But everybody, that's a festive group. So how could you not like gay folks? Those fellas are just so polite and friendly, and everybody just having a good time.
My sister was going out there with her girlfriend. She's like, "We didn't even realize it was Pride weekend out there. We were just trying to get out of town." I'm like,
it was oddly wholesome. It was oddly wholesome. Like, I know y'all are doing unwholesome acts, but like the attitude was very, very festive and wholesome. It was,
oh, dog,
it was fun.
You gotta go to more gay parties, man.
I know. I need to hang out. With
legit. Them. I mean, not to be a tourist and be like, "Oh, look at how they're doing it." But it's like how many gay people have had to sit at a straight nightclub because that's what their group of friends wanted to do that night?
Yeah.
And like, all right, or you know, got to be the one that might be out of place given the sexual preferences of the group around them. I fucking love partying with gays.
Yeah, they're festive.
I mean, I don't go out. I just go hang out with my sister, and then like her crew, they go out. I'm like, yeah, I'll go out with you guys, and it's a blast. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Eagle is something else. I don't know if you've been to the Eagle.
No, I know where you're talking about. I used to drop a lot of Lyft customers off at the Eagle. But
that's like a leather bar. That's a leather daddy bar.
Yeah, I guess that's a chain too, because we had one of those in Atlanta.
There's a few. Yeah, I think there's a few of them. But yeah, we were at one as me and my sister and her girlfriend and their buddy Kevin. And it was like, we wound up there and it was like, there was like a dude, like doing the puppy play thing where they dress up in leather dog masks, but he was just playing pool. And I was like, man, dude, dog stuff. Like you wearing paws and like a tail butt plug and you got this leather dog mask on, but you're just playing a game of 9-ball. Like do the thing. You're do the, well, who am I to tell you how to live? You're already wearing a hot leather mask. Let's get you a straw and a drink. Good luck on the tables. It was early. Maybe you weren't ready to get into that kind of stuff. You just showed up in a costume, but you weren't ready to fulfill its responsibilities yet.
Oh, man. Hey, switching gears real quick before we leave. Dude, you know what I binged the last 2 weeks?
What you binged, Dave?
I am almost completely caught up to speed this on is Succession.
Us. Oh, Succession. I was taking a wild guess. Maybe Dave.
I finally finished Everyone Loves Raymond.
It was Life Goes On. He watched all 10 seasons. He wanted a wholesome family. Dude. Sam family sitcom.
Charlie, shut up. Succession. Holy shit. I'm loving it, dude.
I did that too. I think I crushed 12 of them just in the 2 days I was laid up after surgery.
Jeez. Yeah, not quite. Great program. I'm in the current season, but I didn't watch like the new one last night.
I didn't watch the new one
last night. Episode 2.
Once
but man, what a good show.
Rachel put it the right way. Like it can get a little convoluted as far as like all the business talk and everything. Like,
yeah.
You just watch it for the characters. And when you realize like it's secretly like, oh yeah, no, it's okay to laugh at this. This is a comedy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like it's intense, but there's just funny parts of it.
Yeah. And the acting is so good. All the actors, what's the character's name? Kendall. I was prepared to hate him. Like, you know, they kind of set you up, you know, that he's just the rich, spoiled daddy's, you know, rich kid, stockbroker, whatever, dude. But I'm growing to like him more than almost anyone.
They give everybody a push and pull to where you hate them, and then you realize why maybe their actions were justified. And then you hate them again, but then you kind of understand. And the only guy who's been kind of wholesome through the whole thing has been Greg, the dipshit nephew.
Yeah. Yeah, but you can even tell he's got ulterior motives. Like, you know,
he's just like, all right, this is how you do it. I guess I'll do it too. But we were laughing. We had to rewind a few times when he goes to the big boss, the Brian Cox's character, Logan. Uh-huh. He's like, well, drink. Greg, a drink? He's like, well, daytime, I guess, okay, like a rum and Coke, like showing how unclassy he is. And the guy's like yelling to the maid, can we get Greg a Coca-Cola? How he says it like he's making fun of him to his face.
He's like,
oh, yeah, should I chug this? All right.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think I had to rewind last night. I know this is like real old man shit and not a very Boogie Monster episode, but it was a catch-up episode because we missed a couple weeks. So thanks, everybody, for listening to us catch-up on the eventful 2 weeks. But it still culminates in Seinfeld quotes. I was watching the one last night where Kramer needs George to help him make like this Jewish singles dinner.
Mm-hmm.
He's tasting the eggs that his wife cooks. Frank is... The guy's eggs are dry.
Well, it sucks.
So what? He goes, well, it sucks.
It sucks.
It caught
I'm
me.
I'm back, baby.
It caught me. Ooh. It caught me real. Man. As far as like rewindable, I just need to hear that line read one more time.
That same episode, when he changes his mind and he goes over to Kramer's and, you know, tells him that he's in for the Jewish singles mixer. And I never understood till recently what he meant by this.
Oh, yeah.
But he's talking to, I forgot how he sets it up, but he just goes, you got T-Fowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Kramer's like, no. And he's like, I didn't know. I never, until I really started cooking, I didn't know. Oh, T-Fowl is a cookware.
Thing. I didn't get it until last night. Yeah. You got T-Fowl? Yeah. He's like, no, Cephalon. He's like, no.
You got T-Fowl. Oh, yeah. Well, it sucks. That whole episode is so funny. When Kramer's got four kitchens going and he's running down the hall with a crepe lock and then he asks Jerry to eat it. And he's like, oh, that is terrible. Yeah, I dropped Jerry goes, it tastes like dirt. And he goes, well, I dropped it all the way over here.
God still makes me laugh regardless of your opinions towards the individuals in the show. Succession is a great show.
Man, speaking of the Gregory character, when he's testifying in front of Congress, and who's is it Eric Bergstrom, the guy who's been in stuff forever? He's playing like the Bernie type, the senator, and he's the one asking the questions.
Eric Bogosian.
Bogosian, yeah. Then the guy, he asked him something, and then Gregory's like, it is, if you say it is, he's stumbling, and then he just goes, are you okay? Yeah. Like the most condescending question anybody could ever ask you. Are you okay?
That move, when you see people trying to speak in a rhetoric that's like above their education level is always going to be funny to me. I'm like, well, as it shall be said, it shall be. Like trying to sound fancier. It sounds like even double down on the bullshit. That will always be funny to me.
Oh my God. And the Tom character kills me too. That guy's funny.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what's going on.
Good performances all around. Good acting, good. The writing is a little bit like, it's almost a little sitcom-y where everybody has a kind of crazy metaphor or simile to like throw into talking. Like, but also I'm thinking these are coked up, high-powered guys that, you know, always talk about cutting each other's dicks off and shoving them up their asses and stuff.
But there was one episode I was watching the other night, Colin, the oldest son. Is that his name, Colin?
Ferris
Bueller's buddy.
Yeah.
They're stuck over everybody else, wherever they were at. They were somewhere over in Europe, I guess. And everybody else bolted because, you know, some of them had to fly to Geneva to do this, and some of them had to fly to New York. So anyway, they left Colin and his, I guess, girlfriend slash, you know, that whole storyline. But anyway, like the next scene, he's back in America and he's talking to Logan or something. And he said something. I never heard it referred to as this. He said, yeah, we had to fly scheduled. It was brutal. And then even Dad was like, oh, sorry. You just meaning we had to fly commercial.
Yeah.
Because they're so used to just jet setting in those private jets and helicopters. But the way he said it, it's like, yeah, we had to fly scheduled. It was brutal. But think about it. If all you've done is fly private jets for years, that would be absolutely brutal. If you just now you're in line at LAX.
I don't know what this was a roommate I had years ago, but the way he would explain something, he's like, you know what's wild? I don't know what we were talking about. I was bitching about something. He's like, yeah, but that rich kid who got the wrong color BMW for their 16th birthday party is feeling the same level of frustration as like I was like bitching that I got the wrong order from Burger King or something. I don't know how we got to it, but it's like out of context and having no perspective, that frustration is the same feeling. Registers the same frustration because they don't even know any different. That's what I was thinking. Like, how expensive is it to just shoot a show about expensive stuff?
Yeah.
Like they still got to rent penthouses. They still got to rent helicopters.
Helicopters. They're still shooting in Italy or wherever they're at that episode. Yeah.
But it's a great show. I figured you'd enjoy it given how you like Sopranos and the characters, and it's not mafia stuff, but it's everybody. It's always like a shifting power thing of like who's going to, the way that the dad manipulates everybody into like thinking they're going to be the next CEO and keeps messing with them is like, oh, this guy's a son of a bitch. But then you're like, well, now they unveiled some stuff about his history. Like, well, what are we going to learn here, you know?
Mm-hmm. It reminded me of like if Arrested Development was a drama. Like he's kind of got that same foundation in terms of the wealthy family and the power structure.
Joel Kim Booster, I think, had a tweet where he's like, Succession is just Arrested Development. I was like, ooh, all right, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Joel Kim Booster always has some takes, and I'm like, yeah, all right, you're on point with that one.
Well, that's such a sign of a good show, too, is like this. It's the same thing with a good documentary. Like, even if I don't know or care about the subject matter, like, I don't give a shit about international finance and billionaire families, but, like, they just make it so interesting and intriguing that even if you have no experience or knowledge of the subject matter, it's still enjoyable. I don't know. Half the business shit they're talking about is over my head. I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, but they make it like, I mean, it's like sci-fi at this point. Like, I understand, like, well, if the gamma phasers don't equate to the appropriate mega neuron waves, then it will defeat the purpose of blowing up the planet. I'm like, that doesn't make sense, but I get what you're getting at. I'll say this. Okay, we're talking about documentaries. Let's try and wrap this up with a remotely Boogie Monster related topic.
Sure.
Can we just stop making There's nothing new to put into a UFO documentary. How are there new UFO documentaries? Like, is it just because it's the same level of, like, shitty sitcom? I tried, there's one on Netflix. I'm like, first off, my mistake of thinking Netflix means quality anymore. Mm-hmm. Started watching Squid Game, very good, but doesn't mean across the board. Netflix is throwing a lot of bullshit out there. So I'm like, oh, it's new UFO documentary. Maybe it'll be something. There's nothing new to talk about UFOs. We do not need another UFO show. Like, and then the government created Project Blue Book. Like, fucking what? All right. Like, there's nothing new out there. There's not a single new documentary. Jeremy Corbell and his weird coked up hype man vibe does not inspire, does not make me trust that dude.
Was that the one you watched? Is that the one you're talking about?
No, that was a different one. I'm talking like the one that I was excited for was like he was talking to what's his nuts? Who's the main guy who had like
was Bob Lazar?
Yeah, I was like, I'm at risk by even doing this. Like putting Jeremy Corbett, like I don't know anything about the dude. It just he doesn't have like trustworthy vibes. He has like circus barker vibes.
Yeah, I get it.
It takes me out of it. You know, his presence takes me out of the believing something. And this wasn't. This was just some just basic bitch UFO rehash. It's just leftovers. It's all called leftovers at this point. Like, there's nothing new.
Well, I always wonder about the vetting process, not so much on Netflix, but on Prime is where you find the real bottom of the barrel documentaries, like 1.5 stars, like some of these look like high school AV projects. Like, how did I don't know that world in terms of distribution and stuff, but like some of the documentaries on there, especially the aliens and the Bigfoot and the, some of the stuff that's up our alley, they're so poorly made. It's how did this? Who signed off on this?
Given who can get Prime? Given who can get comedy specials on Prime, I'm like, all right, that checks out. I think it's like a self published kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think you could put it up there. You can maybe either pay to have it hosted on there. I don't know. Or you just it is for purchase. I don't know. But
if you ever wanted to make your home feel safer, there's no better time than now. This week, our friends at Simply Safe are giving Boogie Monster listeners early access to all their Black Friday deals, 50% off their award-winning home security. We love Simply Safe because it has everything you need to make your home safe. Indoor and outdoor cameras, comprehensive sensors, all monitored around the clock by trained professionals who will send help the instant you need it. I've been using Simply Safe for over a year now. It was so simple to set up. It's easy. You know, you set it up, boom, you're secure. You don't have to deal with it. If anything goes wrong, their customer service will help you out. No problems. It's so simple. Stuff like this, you just want to have it and not worry with it. Simply Safe was even named Best Home Security System of 2021 by U.S. News & World Report. You can easily customize a system from your home online in minutes and even get free custom recommendations from Simply Safe. These are Simply Safe's biggest discounts of the year. You can get a complete home security system starting at just over $100. There's no long-term contracts, no commitments. It's actually that easy, and I don't know why you're not doing this already. So here's what you do. Take advantage of Simply Safe's early Black Friday deals. Get 50% off your new home security system by visiting simplysafe.com/boogie. That's simply, S-I-M-P-L-I, simplysafe.com/boogie. You're going to get 50% off your entire system, simplysafe.com/boogie. Hey, truck people, you probably love your truck, right? Most people I know who own a truck absolutely love it. They like the ride height. They like how it drives. They like the towing, the storage. What's not to love? The only thing that I did not like when I owned a truck, I've owned several, don't own one currently. I might change that now. But the only thing I didn't like was the bed. I mean, you like the bed, but it's fun when you're driving to haul all that stuff around. But what do you do for security? What do you do to battle the elements? What are your options? You got to haul all that stuff in every night, all your tools, your hunting gear, your sports stuff, whatever it is you're hauling around. You got to haul that in and out every night if you don't want it to get messed up or stolen. What do you stash it all in the cab? You cover it with a darn tarp? Whatever you do, it's going to suck. It's always a hassle. That's why I highly recommend Dekt, D-E-C-K-E-D, Dekt. The Dekt drawer system is weatherproof, so it protects and secures all of your stuff from Mother Nature. Dekt makes organizing and accessing everything you need so much easier. Each of Dekt's two full bed length drawers can carry up to 200 pounds of whatever you got. The drawers roll out waist high, giving you easy access to your organized tools and gear. The Dekt drawer system keeps your gear secure. If your tailgate is locked, you can't open the drawers and you can't remove the system. Individual drawer locks are available for added security and peace of mind. Dekt is 100% made in the USA and backed by a lifetime no-hassle warranty with a second-to-none customer service team ready to answer all your questions. I might get into the truck game now because of Dekt. Here's what you do, Boogie Monster listeners, to protect your stuff with Dekt. Get your Dekt drawer system at Dekt.com/boogie. Again, that's D-E-C-K-E-D, Dekt.com/boogie. Get free shipping. How about that? One more time. That's Dekt.com/boogie for free shipping on your Dekt drawer system. Dekt.com/boogie.
Again, man, as far as a world that I give allowance to and some credence to, nothing coming out lately has had me go, whew, that was a good, scary thing. I watched The Taking of Deborah Logan the other night.
I don't know that one. What's that about?
It's a pretty good, scary one. It's basically like a documentary crew is filming. Got that found footage kind of vibe, but they're filming a woman that has Alzheimer's, allegedly, but they find out it's far more sinister. But yeah, that was recommended. I did a podcast called Another Goddamn Horror Podcast, and that was recommended on there. I like that one. And then, what did I watch? Anything else scary? I don't remember. I don't even remember. I've been doped up for a week. Oh, and then I got my booster. I got my booster shot. Nothing can go right for me. So yeah, I got done with that. And then last week I got my booster shot because that was like, yeah, may as well fuck me up even more. But that just did what I thought it would, was make me sick for a day. So
was it on par with the initial shot in terms of the rebound?
Not as bad. Oh, I'm taking my sweatshirt off. Well, I don't have to. I'll be all right. I'm alone in my room. I just pull it up. Show off my belly scars. I look like a spayed cat. We're going on vacation. My stomach hair is not going to grow back. And I just got to look like I'm wearing a hair crop top. It's pretty fucked.
Oh, man. Yeah. So was it lasers? Did they cut you?
Yeah, I got 3 stab wounds, and it's laparoscopic. Oh. Like, you could look it up. It's rough. Go for the animation version, not the live version, not the live action. But it's like, yeah, it's one thing goes in one tube with the camera, and then they pump you full of air so they got room to work. Ooh. You know, it's like pulling the sheet up. Yeah, they pump you full of.
That's why my air. Balls were the size of grapefruits when I had that surgery. They pumped some air in there, I guess. I couldn't figure out why that would have happened. Like I told you about that when I had the sports hernia. I had the sports hernia surgery. My balls for like 3 days were literally the size of grapefruits, and I couldn't
did they call it sports hernia, or do you just call it sports hernia?
I think they called it sports hernia. Yeah.
I thought it's hernia. I don't think you. I didn't know you get to describe the injury. I thought it was just I got a hernia too.
Yeah,
out of coughing after a bong rip hernia.
So they blow air in there to kind of puff up everything so they have room to get in there and fuck around. Okay.
Well, you mean after the surgery, your nuts were all big.
Yeah.
Well, you couldn't tell if it was air or just regular swelling?
I mean, it was swelling, but for years I was wondering why they got so big until you just mentioned that. I wonder if that's the technique they did for me. Like they inject some air in there and puff everything up.
Yeah, so they should fill them with helium and then make everything look real perky down there.
But yeah, it was nuts. It was alarming.
It was nuts.
How swollen I was. Oh boy.
Yeah, so that's what they see. Yeah, they do that, and then the other two go in there and do the little chopstick thing on your bits.
So you didn't have to spend another night like after the surgery?
No. I was out. The whole surgery was maybe 25 minutes.
Okay.
I went in Tuesday night and just kind of waited it out. And then they got me a room in the ER and I was hanging out in there. And then, yeah, because it wasn't like an emergency, like we're monitoring you. If it gets worse, obviously we're right here. Any pain, anything, like hit your little button, we're right here and we'll move mm-hmm. up your time. But then the time I can get in was like 1 p.m. the next day. So I just laid there hanging out, kind of dozing in and off, in and out. But then Rachel was like, was there at night. And finally she went to get some sleep. Cause like, I'm just hanging out in this room. There's nothing going on. And she came back to see me before surgery the next day. And they're like, we'll call you when he's ready to get picked up. And then she, you know, she didn't get much sleep the night before. And she went off to like, she's like, all right, just drop me off. She's like, all right, you know, I'm going to go do a couple things and come back and pick you up after surgery. She's like, I'm going to go home and get a nap. Honestly, she went to Rite Aid. And then by the time she was getting home after going to Rite Aid, they're like, surgery's done. You can come get him like in an hour.
Hmm.
Like, oh yeah, it's like 25 minutes. It's a very simple thing. I was lucky for that it was simple and no complications. You know, trying to look on the bright side of the inconvenience mm-hmm. of it all.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if it would have burst, that would have been a real literal shit show because that's what they're cleaning out. They got to clean out your insides, and it can be toxic because that's – I don't know if it's bile or just poop at that point, that's at that part of the colon that's just out – floating around in your cavity. My buddy had that. My buddy had diverticulitis where your intestines rip open.
Yeah.
And they had to just open them up and just, yeah, clean out the whole insides there.
Ugh. Yeah, man. Gives you some perspective on your own health, man. I'm knock on wood. I've been so lucky that I haven't had to deal with much of that, but, ugh.
Yeah.
We're glad you're feeling better, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Oh, yeah. And what I was talking about at the very beginning of the show, I won't talk dollars and cents, but you just sent us a very generous gift card to what looks like a delicious restaurant. So thank you, buddy.
I was looking at a few places in Long Beach to get you guys out for a nice meal that maybe wouldn't be something you'd prepare for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like something out of the or like I'm not gonna get him a barbecue restaurant. Like he's just gonna be annoyed that it's not his own barbecue. Rightfully so.
But no, like, this is a good this hit that target then.
Fancy Italian food. I love Italian food. You could have you could watch your Godfather's. Yeah, watch your Godfather and then go have that. Wear your suit.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Or part of it. You know.
I was thinking about that the other night. Like, when am I going to get to wear the suit again? And we actually said, well, let's just go out to a fancy restaurant. We'll wear it then.
I was thinking, I hope it's enough. I was looking at the menu items. I know Katie doesn't drink, so I was like, maybe. And I'll be very embarrassed if that doesn't cover it. But I also didn't know. I don't know how much. I'm like, I don't know. Stuff looks pretty good. I could see Dave going double entree.
Yeah. Get a extra entree for the table. But yeah, man, it's very generous, man. Thank you so much, and shout out to dude. We've actually had random listeners contribute to our registry, to our honeymoon fund. Just you know,
that's sweet of them.
Listeners, just that's very sweet. And oh man, just I mean, normally I don't talk dollars and cents, but I gotta tell you this. Just Katie's father's friend, this guy named Mike McNulty, just a family friend. Just I've met him several times. Just a nice, you know, down-to-earth dude, probably about 60, 65. Just slipped Katie a check for $1,000. Here you go. Happy wedding. $1,000 check. What the fuck?
Wealth. We got that.
Yeah.
Sitting all right.
I forget that some people have serious money. Yeah, some of her dad's friends, I think, are pretty well off. And just, yeah, here you go. Apropos of nothing, here's $1,000. Well, geez, thanks, Mike. So, yeah, got a bunch of nice wedding gifts. We already have everything we need. But, yeah, it was so nice, so generous. Singer got me a workout bench. Got me this nice collapsible really high-end workout bench. Got all kinds of plates.
They know you live in a one-bedroom apartment now, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's always a challenge trying to fit all this shit in. But, yeah, got an air fryer now. Finally got an Instapot. I'm getting up to date with all the new kitchen technology thanks to all these wedding gifts. So I'm
excited about this air fryer. I want to hear about the air fryer.
Yeah, I have no idea how it works, so I'm going to get into that this week. And
Next episode, just an air fryer review. That's it.
Yeah.
People talk about air fryers like they found Jesus.
Oh, yeah. People seem to love them. Official tally for the weight loss. I the day of the wedding, I was down 62 pounds. So that was the official tally on that. And in the week since, I haven't weighed myself, but I guarantee you I've put on 10 pounds this week. It's just been chaos all week. So I'm going to wrap it up in the next day or two and then get back into my routine because, like I said before, the weight loss wasn't just for the wedding. I need to do this in general moving forward just for a healthy lifestyle. But, took a nice little break this last week and ate all the fun stuff that I haven't been able to eat for months. So it's been fun.
Yeah, buddy. Hell yeah, buddy.
Got to get geared up for Thanksgiving now.
What you doing?
So you'll be in
for
Chicago for Thanksgiving?
No, I'm going to come back here. I only got a few days in between. I leave this Thursday. May as well plug those dates now if anybody's still listening to this part of this point of the podcast. But yeah, we're in Sioux Falls Thursday. Sioux Falls Thursday, Lincoln Friday, that's sold out. Saturday is Iowa City. Sunday's Madison, Wisconsin. Monday, Tuesday before Thanksgiving is Chicago at Thalia Hall. I think they're both sold out, or maybe there's a couple tickets left for some of those. And then that's Thanksgiving weekend. I'm coming back here to Oregon because then it's the only days I'll have back because then that Monday after Thanksgiving is when you and I, start up in Miami.
Hell yeah.
Or that's the Tuesdays when we start up in Miami. Uh-huh. And we go Miami, Orlando, Tampa, Gainesville, Atlanta, Huntsville, Birmingham, Pensacola, Lafayette, New Orleans. I come back home for one day, and on the 11th, I fuck off for the rest of the year on vacation. So,
good for you. Y'all going anywhere for vacation?
Oh yeah, man. I'm going to Maui.
Nice.
Going to Maui. Nice. For
way to go.
Couple weeks there.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, well, I was anticipating a long work autumn, not also a downtrodden health autumn.
Yeah.
Yeah, so either way, fuck off down there for a bit, get out of this. It's just real. It's real moody weather. Like the weather itself was like, I'm sunny, but now I'm raining, but now I'm sunny again. Now it's dark, but there's sun coming from somewhere. Now it's raining, but the sun's out. It's like, what the fuck, man? It is making me nuts up here.
Yeah. Yeah, Pacific Northwest weather, man.
So I'm going to get out of it for a minute and then start up in January, December 2020, or January 2022. Maybe something almost resembling a regular year again.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully.
I mean, just in general.
Mm-hmm.
Of working and doing shows and traveling and such. Yeah,
I'm excited to get back out there, man. I had so much fun on my run a few weeks ago that I'm looking forward to our thing. What are we doing? 10 cities in 10 days? Something like that?
Is that what we're doing? Let's go look at the thing.
I don't think we have any off days.
One, two, three. No, there's no off days. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10. Yes, 10. Two shows in Miami, two shows in Tampa, and two shows in Orlando? No. I don't know. There's a couple double shows that night.
Nice. Well, hell yeah, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, girl.
Looking forward to it, buddy.
Yeah, now you got to say bye to your wife when you leave for tour.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I got to check in with my wife. My wife has an inner ear infection.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that you're just saying Seinfeld. That? You're just trying that sentence on for size, or she really does?
Nah, that's a Seinfeld reference. When Jerry pretends to be married to Courtney Cox so they can get discounts on dry cleaning, and he's talking to Kramer about how much he enjoys saying my wife. And Kramer's like, yeah, that would be fun. And then Kramer's just like, my wife has an inner ear infection.
I thought it was like something that was legit going around because like Rachel's ears bothering her. Somebody else is like, yeah, my ear's all fucked up. I'm like, maybe there's an ear thing going on now.
Nah, we're all good over here, man. Things are good. Just adapting to married life. really not much adapting, but yeah, we're having fun, man. Just an old married couple with no kids.
I don't want to be rude. I don't want to be rude here, but you posted a photo of your pets, and they all looked pretty plump.
Yeah, they're hardy.
Not in a bad way, but do you spoil the animals?
Well, we try not to with food. Like there was a year ago, we got a little overzealous with all the snacks and treats and stuff, and then the vet told us to kind of knock that out. But the problem is they eat each other's food. Like, you know, when you have multiple pets,
yeah, that's not pH balanced.
You just put the food down, and then, you know, Charlie eats their food, and the cats eat Charlie's food, and just, we don't know how to regulate or monitor that, so. It's just a real free-for-all over here, but yeah, they're portly.
I was like, man.
As Harvey says,
Harvey's
thick.
Yeah, Dave's diet has led him to, like, feeding the animals. Like, well, you guys get special treats. Somebody's got to eat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Setting a bad example over here. But yeah, they're
all right. I'm just saying, like I said, I know it was a rude thing to say.
No, that's okay. I won't mention it to them. They are a little sensitive about it.
Yeah, no, I wasn't going to, you know, directly contact them about it. But.
But yeah, things are good over here, man. Things are good.
Married man with a bunch of new gadgets.
That's right. I'm a lucky fella, so I got nothing to complain about. So
that's good.
Things are good.
I got happy openers coming with me. I was hanging out with Sean Jordan, who's coming with me on this leg. Starting in Sioux Falls, he's all excited because he's a new dad and everything. And
that's right. That's right.
Yeah, he was doing bits last night. He's like, I feel bad. The last 2 years, best years of my life.
Oh man, somebody asked us if we were gonna have kids, and I couldn't help but like just cackle. I'm like, no, I'm 44. Why? No, we're not gonna have kids. I don't want kids.
I mean, some people they have them. They have their grandchildren as at their age. Is how I refer. I'm like, oh, you had a grandkid without having.
Yeah. Oh, no thanks. No,
yeah.
They got it set up pretty nice here.
Yeah, I'm not looking to fuck around with things.
Biologically, I could pull it off. I just have no interest.
Yeah.
No, I'm looking forward to just, I don't know, being married with no kids. I think that's a fun combo. I think we're going to have fun with that, so.
Well,
the least amount of responsibility possible. That's what I'm looking for.
Congratulations, buddy.
Things are good, buddy. But yeah, great catching up, man. In all seriousness, we're glad you're okay.
Mine was just some bullshit.
So, you know, you were missed at the wedding, but more important, you're doing well. So we're all happy about that, buddy. So you just keep it between the ditches. We will talk again next week, and then after that, you're going to be getting sick of me for about 10 days. We're going to be up each other's ass.
Oh, yeah, man. We're going to be just sweaty in the south, southeast. Sweaty on the Gulf Coast.
Yeah. Gulf Coast run. Looking forward to it, man. We're going to have to get some. Have to get you some seafood gumbo when we go to New Orleans. You'll eat the seafood gumbo, as long as there's no sausage in it, right?
I'm still eating seafood.
Yeah,
I'm still.
Has this affected your diet at all? Like the surgery? Like, did they tell you to take it easy with your diet?
No, or? I didn't have an appetite for a little while. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any other symptoms. I didn't have a fever. It was just my stomach was upset, and then I didn't eat for a few days, a couple days maybe. And then I was just eating normal, but then I was getting fearful of eating because nothing was coming out. Like I said, talking about log jam. Like everything, I'm like, I'm hungry, but I'm just going to be in pain if I eat. But that all corrected itself with some pills and potions. But yeah, oh, that's that Sunday night. So we were out to eat that Sunday night. And I'm like, you know what? Uh-huh. We went out to some Mediterranean place. But they got some sort of glazed chicken wings. And Rachel had like a kebab, a lamb kebab. I'm like, you know, I'm going to have a taste. I've been through enough. Let me have a taste of some meat. I want to win. I was craving chicken wings for a while, but like bar chicken wings, like rustic inn chicken wings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, utility wings. Nothing fancy.
But good ones, like fat, chemically filled, Monsantoed, genetically modified, something with some meat on them. And this is Portland, and it's like a fancy, not fancy restaurant, but like, you know, organic restaurant. So I had a wing, and it was a drag. Like, ah, oh, so I broke edge for this. And it just wasn't good. And then I had a piece of Rachel's lamb kebab, and it was like, I hadn't had meat like turn me off like that. Like, I still like it.
Really?
I still like the taste. And there's something about a lamb. I love lamb. I love kebabs. And there was something about the one bite I had.
Yeah.
I had to leave it. It like turned me. I was like, ooh, I've never had this reaction before to eating meat. Hmm. Normally it's like she wasn't going to finish an Italian sausage sandwich when we were in Chicago. I had one bite of it and I was like, oh God, why do I subject myself to punishment when I could have this whenever I want?
Oh, man.
But that kebab, I got like kind of sick. Nothing bad, but like, nope, no thanks.
Hmm.
Yeah.
The day after the wedding, we drove Mom around Palm Springs a lot, and then we went and had lunch at this just little Mexican joint. I forgot the name of it, but it looked fairly authentic. And a sweet little Latino waitress, couldn't have been more than 17, 18, just a young girl, just real, real sweet. And she's taking her order, and my mom goes, I'll have a sweet tea. And the girl looked her dead in the eye, and she goes, I'm sorry, I don't know what that is. I was like, Mom, they don't have sweet tea out here in the desert. And she's like, oh, okay. But yeah, she just, I've never heard a server. You get a lot of like, oh, we don't have that here. Or sure, do you want passion fruit or raspberry? Like, oh, neither. But she just said point blank, I don't know what that is.
Yeah. It is not, it doesn't make it out of the South.
No.
For good reason.
Rarely see it. Chick-fil-A is about your only.
Yeah, you keep that southern chain. You keep that southern fried type of diabetes to yourself with your sweet tea.
Yep, no sweet tea in Palm Springs, Mom.
I remember being down there, being out with Gilbert, and just get a large from like this before Chick-fil-A was bad or whatever, and just being down there, like, I'm gonna have a large sweet tea. I'm like, I'm a sweet tea too, and just we've gone over that. I'm like, this is what is this, Pedialyte? What did you give me here?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Now that I don't drink it as often, I mean, I'll still get it, you know, if it's available. But thinking back on how much sweet tea I used to drink, I mean, there'd be days where I'd have three or four glasses in one day. And you're like, oh, that's, I just had 1,000 calories of tea.
Yeah, what's even the tea part anymore? Just that it's brown? Because this is just, you just put sugar in some water.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
I thought you were going to say your mom tried guacamole. I thought she was going to.
Oh no!
Get into
no,
that
no,
point.
It looks like puke. No guacamole.
I was gonna say we got old Deb to try Indian food. You know, older folks, maybe they're getting to the point where they're trying stuff. They're doing fun stuff now.
Yeah, might as well
lighten up a little bit.
Oh boy! Well, all right, buddy. We'll land this plane. Yeah, man. You plugged your dates this week. Okay, so yeah, have fun out there, man. Be safe.
Absolutely. Enjoy your wedded bliss.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Just kicking it at home for about another week. So yeah, not a whole lot going on. Just I got a local show this week Saturday, Wrigley Comedy Chew backyard show here at Long Beach. So anybody in the area want to see me prep for our next run? Swing on by. Should be a fun.
Kicking in Long Beach, man. You got nice weather.
Yeah, man. Hell yeah, man. Sweet. Things are good. Well, good catching up, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
The Boogie Monster.
Bye.